us. We don't chase after him. On Thursday of last week, a friend of mine gave me a call to come by to see him Thursday morning because he was going through a very hard time in a situation where he was at work and he needed prayer. And to ask for prayer is such a privilege for me to be there to give him that prayer. The job that he does is a very hard job, and he felt almost incapacitated, like he couldn't really do the work. So much so that the company had to bring in somebody for him to help him along, come alongside him and help him to get through the week. So, you know, really, my job there praying for him was that he would focus and he would, that person would come alongside him and help him, and that he would get through this trial period, because he had this meeting that was coming up the next day on the Friday, and that meeting was very, very important. So he was really stressed out about the whole thing. But I had the privilege to really pray for him that Thursday morning. And then he, in turn, prayed for me. And I just left there really feeling thankful that I was able to pray for him, and he was able to pray for me, for my family. And it was just a wonderful thing. You know, I love my job. Many of you know that I'm a vice principal. I've been teaching now for 28 years. And there's so many parts of my job that I love and I look forward to, but there's other parts of my job that I don't look forward to. And Monday mornings, there's a lot of anxiety. You know, I thank goodness to C.C. Winans and people like Michael W. Smith and others that I'm usually, if you're sitting beside me in my car going to work, you're going to hear those people and those praise and worship songs playing, and you're going to hear me singing really loud and really pumping and, you know, giving myself an accident probably, but really just praising God, because there's so much of what I do, I give it up to the Lord. You know, there's a lot that I have learned over the 28 years, but there's still so much that I don't know that I give it to the Lord. And so I walk into school, most times I'd say pumped, knowing that the Holy Spirit has got this. Worry can immobilize us. It can reduce our ability to trust God. Our text this morning is Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. And I'll be reading from the NIV, the New International Version. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this privilege this morning to be in front of my brothers and sisters, the privilege to share what you have been working in my heart over the last few weeks. Father, I pray that this message would go out to those who need to hear what you have designed, what you have put in my heart to share with others, Lord. May nothing be added. May nothing be taken away. May it just be a blessing to at least one person here, Lord, this morning. And I thank you for the process that you had me go through in this. We love you. I love you. Amen. May I suggest that our constant worrying may be caused by our faulty perspective, our forgotten position, and our lack of priority. Our faulty perspective, our forgotten position, and our lack of priority. By perspective, I mean our past relationship with God. All creation was in harmony with God until the fall of man. Consider Genesis 1:31. God saw that all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and morning, the sixth day. Here's the picture before the fall. Adam and Eve walked with God. Food was in abundance. They feared no creature because they ruled over everything. Life was very good. Not just good, but very good. This wasn't just mere optimism on the part of Adam and Eve. Like the one popular electronics brand advertises, life's good. Yes, this life with the creator of the universe was very good. Adam and Eve had nothing to worry about because they had all that they needed because they had an uncorrupted relationship with their provider. Worry was not even a concept. But something changed. Listen to verse 8 of chapter 3 from Genesis. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid. What? They did what? They hid. You got to stop right there because this walk would have happened every day for who knows how long. And all of a sudden they're hiding. Is this a game? Why did they hide? Well, many of us familiar with the story knew what had taken place before. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, and instantly they were separated from God by their desire to act on their own. At that moment, we rebelled. We adopted and inherited a new perspective, a new way of seeing the environment around us and of our needs. Worry entered the world, and it became part of our natural self to this day. It became a disruption. For we no longer depended on God, we depended on ourselves and each other. We have now experienced that others will let us down, and we will let ourselves down. And all of that leads to worrying. We have thoughts like, will I be good enough? What will next week look like because of what happened this week? How will I be able to make that payment on that bill? What will my doctor say when she calls with the news? That deadline is fast approaching. How will I explain to my boss the difficult situation that I'm in? What will they think of me if I don't make the team? These concerns are our new lenses, which distorts everything and become part of our new reality. You know, I'm in a different season of my life right now. We're almost empty nesters. So the worries that I have are very different than the worries I had when I was 19, 28, 45. Many of you are sitting here right now are in different seasons, and your worries are very different than the person next to you. But we have them. But thanks be to Jesus Christ, who came to die for sinners like myself, who rose and bought you and I new life, provided new corrective lenses for us to once again see the truth that we have been bought back and redeemed. We will remember the price he paid when we take part of communion this morning. Amen? But even with the truth we now have, there is still a partial disconnect because we still battle with our evil desires. Consider Romans 8, 22, 23, which says, "We now know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the spirits, grown inwardly, and we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." Seeing the history from where we came from is imperative to understanding our plight on worry. I'm going to say that again. Seeing the history from where we came is imperative to understanding our plight on worry. Knowing this perspective leads us to know that we will be grappling for power, prestige, status, and the like, because we have essentially become our own gods. Men have now by nature no peace within their hearts because God is crowned there no longer. Stubborn and aggressive usurpers fight among themselves for first place on the throne. Who's got first place on your throne this morning? Those words are from A.W. Tozer. What are these usurpers? Usurpers, when we think of usurpers, it's the idea of something taking something by force. We have that place that should be reserved for God Almighty, but we have replaced it with recognition and pride and lust. The need to belong to certain people and groups and clans and culture. And it happens so naturally. Now, I'm not saying all of that's bad, but if this is your modus operandi, or if this is what defines you, then you're in trouble. We're in trouble. Put myself there too. What I'm really saying here is that worry is part of our makeup. It is part of our sin nature. But this can be given over to the Lordship of Christ. Let's recall Matthew 6. 26 and 27. Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not reap or sow, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" You know, this suggests to me who we are to ultimately depend on, because he is still in control. He is sovereign. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 supports the inner conflict that we go through every day as a child of God. These verses say, "Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want." So we can perhaps say the root of worry can come from a faulty perspective when we do not consider our history of what we have inherited. It's natural for us to worry. So along with a faulty perspective, we often forget our positionality. That is the position we have as a child of God, We heard this morning, sonship and daughtership. We have the privilege to have that connection with the Holy Father if you have trusted in Christ. Our proximity or place is close to the Father himself. We have been given access to God, something we did not deserve, but was given nonetheless to those of us who have trusted only in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This relationship with Emmanuel, which means God with us, gives us hope. Here lies the antidote. We don't have to succumb to a life of worry now that Christ has renewed our hearts and minds. We are on the journey of being sanctified, which means we are becoming more Christ-like. The old sin nature cannot align itself to the new person in Christ, which we're becoming. The splendor we create being on earth here and being dependent on others and ourselves can't even come close to what God has prepared for each one of you. Jesus said in verse 28 and 29 of Matthew 6, again, this is from his Sermon on the Mount here, "And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was never dressed like one of these." This tells me it is far better to depend on God than on myself or others. Because of our position and relationship with Christ, we can rest knowing he will always provide the best for us. Have you ever experienced a time when you have worked so hard to attain something? I mean, you've put in hours and sweat and toil and sacrifice only to experience that anticlimactic finish when you have reached that goal. In essence, it has left you empty. If we're striving to reach goals God has not prepared for us to reach, we may be causing more harm than good. Goals without God as the architect is futile, and it can cause a lot of worry because the dependency is on us and on others. It can leave us empty and lost, like the subject in this very famous painting that hopefully will be up here on the wall. The painting is entitled The Scream. The painting is done by the artist Edvard Munch. This painting is a raw expression of the human condition. There's nothing really pleasing about this. It's ghastly. The colors are conflicting. There's discord. There's tension. When it was created, it may have been a tumultuous time in the artist's life, or maybe that period. But certainly what we see here is some sort of an existential crisis, much like our time. Whenever I look at this painting, it reminds me of the time that we're in right now, that inner screaming of just wanting peace. This painting reminds me that we have to be mindful and intentionally editing what we hear, what we watch, and model our lives after. The age in which we live have many distractions and false positions, promising us success, fame, and status. Don't worry, be happy songs can often sound good, but they can leave us hanging because there is no substance from which to build from. So much of what is around us is competing for first place on our throne, according to A.W. Tozer, which I quoted earlier. In our time, we are saturated with media and our online profiles in a fictional world. being on various platforms, we can choose to be whatever we want, whenever we want. There is a price to be paid for that. The infinite scream of nature can create great anxiety for many. Yet even in that angst, Christ is sovereign enough to find us and rescue us as we persist on. The lesson here is when we try to take charge of our circumstances by the things of this world, of course we will worry instead of handing it over to God. Our position is often forgotten here. We forget that in Christ we have access to the throne room of the Almighty. The position we have in Christ gives us hope. Matthew 6:31 and 32 says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and their heavenly Father knows that you need them." God knows our every need and provides for us, for he created us. Our need is tied up in him. He doesn't wish for us to look elsewhere. The Psalms are filled with David coming under the shadow of God's wings, or the shelter of the Most High, or being on God's strong tower. David had this privilege of position. He knew his God, and he knew he cared for him. Listen to what J.I. Packer, the theologian, said from his book, Knowing God, which our small group is still going through. Our personal life is a finite thing. It is limited in every direction, in space and time, in knowledge, in power. But God is not so limited. He is eternal, infinite, and almighty. He has us in his hands, but we never have him in ours. We must remember the position we have to the one who cares and provides for our every need. If you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, you have this promise of eternal life, to be with the Creator of the universe one day as we bless him and sing praises to him alone. Priority. We who have trusted in God should know that we are on a very important journey. And this journey will build godly character in us. Our priority then is to stay the course. To stay the course no matter what. We just witnessed the Summer Olympics, and we have seen some amazing athletes fight through pain and toil to win the prize. They had to train their bodies to stay the course, to not give up. Like them, we are called to persevere. Our priority is to persevere. We're not to be distracted lest we lose our priority. Philippians 3:14 says, "I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward," in Jesus' name. We're in training. We want to be like Christ because we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who is equipping us to be holy like he is holy. Our eternal GPS should be locked in on Christ alone. We're undergoing a complete paradigm shift. And just to let you know, it won't be fully accomplished on this side of heaven. Remember, we still have a sin nature that we have to contend with. Martha was so concerned about who was coming over for dinner, you would think it was the queen or something. I mean, she polished, she washed and prepared and was ready to serve her guest that evening. The guest, however, was not the majesty, the queen. It was Jesus. Mary, her sister, went to get the door when they both heard the knock. Martha was so committed and focused on making sure everything was right for her guest, Jesus, She allowed, or maybe even told, her sister Mary to go get the door. Besides, she was hardly doing much anyways, she thought. Mary did get the door, but with great anticipation. "Jesus," she said, and invited him in. While inquiring about his day, she asked lots of questions and listened intently. Her sister Martha, on the other hand, was arranging the tables where they were to eat. She washed and put away a few items and interjected every now and again, contributing to the conversation being heard between Mary and Jesus. Now, Martha was gifted. She was gifted in hosting and knew how to make everyone feel special and wanted. But she forgot one thing. This was the creator of everything she knew, and he wanted her full attention. Close by, not far away, Mary was at the feet of Jesus, taking in every word he said. Martha was far off, blinded by her own efforts, and did not see the priority of knowing the one who stopped by that day. The priority is always to persevere in knowing God. Let's return to Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34, which says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." God declares his greatness and invites us to worship him. J.I. Packer says, "The Christian instincts of trust and worship are stimulated very powerfully by the knowledge of the greatness of our God." We need to prioritize the greatness of our God. That may mean we may need to rethink, reread, relearn what it means to worship our God. We need to have that reverence for the Almighty. We need to fall to his feet in humility and worship. This is the antidote to worry. My sermon can end right here. Worship is the antidote to worry. Worship is the antidote to worry. What will you do if Jesus was to come by your house tonight? Would you worry or would you worship? Perhaps both. I would hope it would be more worship. Finally, we need to persevere with the priority of knowing him no matter what. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And that's James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. And I wasn't going to mention this, but, you know, I have to say this. When I had COVID 3-4 years ago and I had one of my kidneys had failed, I had blood clots in my lungs, I was in the hospital for probably about 4 or 5 weeks, and they said I had 30% lung capacity. They were almost close to putting me on a ventilator, and I couldn't even see my family. Because, of course, you couldn't visit the families that time. This was a trial that I went through. I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for that. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. God knew what he was doing. He knew I would be here today on November 3rd. Hope it's November 3rd or 4th, whatever it is. He knew I would be here today. He put me through that trial. I didn't know what I was going through that time. But I thank him that I can be here right now. And if I did not go through that trial, I would not be standing here. This whole thing would have been a flop. So I thank him for those trials and the trials that are to come. And we should be doing that. The Akan people of Ghana have a word called Sankofa. Yeah, take your mind out of the Toronto news of what happened with Sankofa. The word literally means go back and get it. I apply this idea to scriptural matters like going back and remember how he has been faithful. He has been faithful. But I won't know that until I go back and look and see how time and time and time and time again he's been faithful. This frequent reflection causes me to depend on Christ more and less on myself and on others. Give Christ your worries, for his yoke is easy, he says. When we try to take charge of our circumstances, of course we worry instead of handing it over to God. When you have the right perspective, remember your position and persevere with the right priority. Why worry? Worry is worshiping your problem. Prayer is surrendering your problem. When we come to pray, it's worship. When I left my friend's place of work last week, Thursday morning, feeling so privileged to have been able to pray with him, for him, for the worrying that he was going through, and feeling blessed that he prayed for me and my family, I received a text message from my wife that Jared, my son, was in a car accident on the QEW, just east of Mississauga Road. I had not even entered my car as yet, and I was on my way to school. Was I worried? I was. But I also had a peace which allowed me to navigate the next series of actions to get to my son. When I eventually got to him, I gave him a big, giant hug and asked if he was okay. He said yes. I saw the badly damaged cars, and the two other cars that were written off, including his. I saw the four other people who were involved in the accident. I saw the two young police officers. I heard one gentleman who was involved in the accident say, "I can't believe we're all standing here smiling." Well, that was an opportunity to share that they were prayed for that morning. In my morning prayers, I often pray for my family as they come and go driving, and that all the drivers would be safe in that early morning and coming home times. My friend had prayed for my family less than an hour before. This was worship. Prayer was worship. Worship is the answer to worry. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you for the weeks leading up to writing the sermon. I would not have dared even think that my son would have been in an accident. But this just speaks to just how fragile life is and how we need to come under your watch, your provision. Father, I pray that this word, this sermon today, would touch someone out there who is just caught up in worrying. It is part of our makeup, Lord. But for those of us who have not fully understood what worshiping is, I pray, Lord, that we would continue to open up our word, our Bible, your Bible, Lord, and read it. Read it fully, intently, and pray and sing songs that would gratify only you alone. We thank you for this time. I thank you so much for this privilege to share this word with my brothers and sisters here this morning. May we be blessed, and may we be pumped, Lord, going into work tomorrow morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.